Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back into the Black and Gold Draft Show here at 504 Golf and Entertainment on Howard Avenue in New Orleans. Getting ready to wait and hear from Saints head coach Kellen Moore after the Black and Gold getting an offensive lineman to beef up the line. Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas with the ninth overall selection. And no surprise, this team going with O-line or D-line. We talked about it before. It's what they do.
And my thing is, I play him at left tackle right away. This stuff about, oh, let him play left guard, then to left tackle. My thing is, no. Put him at left tackle. Move Fuaga back to the right side where he's more comfortable. And then you've reshaped your line. You know you got McCoy. You know you have Cesar Ruiz. Now, you got to find a left guard. Is that where Trevor Penning comes into play here? But all this mission and meshing every year, to me that don't work.
No,
put right. Kelvin at left tackle and put Fuaga at the right tackle position.
Put them back where they belong.
Exactly.
I loved his emotion, right?
Almost sounded like relief.
Right,
it sounded like a relief.
No, but we didn't talk about it, but on the television when he got drafted, He's wearing a baseball cap, pulled it down. I mean, he was balling. Right, and he talked about it. It wasn't like they were, a rough upbringing, but he wasn't the, greatest in the world. And you appreciate that kind of heart and soul and character that he's bringing. I do, anyway.
Yeah, I think that's something when you do the kind of analytical part with him is the intangibles. He has not missed a football game since his sophomore year in high school. Think about how many games he's played. In the years of high school, 3 years at Texas, he's played and started every game since his sophomore year.
Mike, here's something. The young man just turned 21.
Yes.
Just turned 21. So, I mean, from a youth standpoint and for him to have the experience, and like he said, he's 100% healthy now, I think that you put yourself in a really good position.
He had 1,477 pass block snaps. Sacks allowed, 4.
Go to that Georgia game, and I think I can find you a couple there.
Right.
I think that's where he got caught, that Georgia game.
But still, game started, 42. Games played, 42. Available, only 3 years. Man, again, if you just said, take the name out of it, take any ranking out of it. Hey, would you like to have the Lombardi, the nation's top offensive lineman, and the Outland top offensive lineman and defensive lineman in 2024? Would you like that guy on your team?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got him. You just got him on the ninth pick.
And so, like, we all have different opinions on where they, players should be picked and everything. And I thought Jalen Walker would have been a great fit. And I don't like him going to Atlanta.
No.
I will say that. But this is how I think this is where the collaborating ideas come into play here with Kellen Moore and seeing what happened in Philly. And what Jeff Ireland and Mickey Loomis have done in the past. So it's almost a collaboration of ideas here. But I do think the quarterback selection, that is going to be Kellen Moore. That's going to be his pick on who he wants at quarterback.
And early tomorrow, right?
Early tomorrow or a free agent and Aaron Rodgers, even though Aaron Rodgers is 5 years
old. Oh, my God.
No, I'm telling you, that ain't a far-fetched.
I'm with you. I'm just,
For $10 million. I mean, listen, let me tell you right now. Now, you got the strengths and the weaknesses. Let me tell you now, because it's not always strengths.
Who are we talking about?
No, we're talking about Kelvin Banks Jr. Right. Okay. So when you're talking about weakness, this is crazy, Mike. I've never read this, like the comparison. You know who he compares to in this category? Will Campbell. Let me explain that. Kelvin Banks Jr. doesn't appear to have ideal arm length. What the hell? How long?
Stop screaming.
Arms?
We're right here.
No, how, like your arms. How long is your arms? You know, like, okay, it's like, okay, it's an inch too short or three quarters of an
Who
inch.
Who cares?
So wait. So, Mike, this is what they say. Banks doesn't appear to have ideal arm length, which can lead to struggles with sustaining downfield blocks in the run game and beating long arm moves from pass rushes, you know, like a long, like jumpy gathers and all that, long arm moves from pass rushes who bring a bigger wingspan to the table. So he just said he can be exploited in that regard. Okay, you know what? I want to know the edge rushes for the Falcons, how long is their arm span? you know what I'm saying? You know, don't, because simply by that.
James Pierce and Jalen Walker.
James Pierce, because that's who most likely you'll go up against.
I want to know their damn wingspan, because, I just read something, the weakness there. And then, Mike, that's intriguing to me.
The one thing I've noticed with him, he sort of has a crisscross with his feet sometimes.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that was masking a lower body injury.
Ankle injury.
And overcompensating.
And so he was overcompensating, and he would cross his feet over, and that led to a guy getting around him. So that may answer your question.
Well, and then he went on to say, more often than not, he relies more on the finesse game. That's a good thing.
That's true.
The finesse pass when power is required. Now, I'd want a finesse power guy. But to me, it's hard to have your cake and eat it too. Sometimes somebody can be like, well, what do we always say about Trevor Penning? Okay, power. He's going to be dominant against the run. Trevor Penning is a stiff. He ain't got no damn finesse. So this cat got finesse. So that's why when I looked at this, and he relies more on finesse game than power, you can be an offensive lineman and get away with at the highest level finesse. Now, you know, speed to power and all that as a pass rusher and your moves, you can't be weak and rush the passer because you'll get stoned. But if you have the right finesse and good feet and good hands, then you can pass protect at a high level. So right then, when I see finesse, that now might hurt you in the run game as far
he's
as
a mauler. He's a mauler in the run game.
Yeah, okay, he's a mauler. So then right then, so I said finesse, but maybe he don't always put forward the power that he can, that he's more acknowledged as a finesse guy. Now, this is Athlon. I'm just going by Athlon scouts, and like everybody has scouts and opinions, so we can't just be like, he's a 10 out of 10. We got to be critical.
Well, there is no 10 out of 10.
No, so that's what I mean. We can't just see he's the greatest thing since Willie Rolfe. I don't know. He has to freaking play and do something.
Would Banks be someone that could move to guard if they wanted to?
Yes.
He could, but I'm
hold on.
I'm
I think we've got Kellen Moore coming up right now, Steve.
Let's go to the podium and hear Coach Kellen Moore from Saints facility.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Obviously, it was a great process. It was kind of a fun culmination of a long process over the last few months. And so, it's that first opportunity for the coaching staff, for the scouting side of this thing, for all of us to team up on this process. And I felt like it's been a lot of fun.
Does it say anything about you? I know a lot of people are involved in this process, but your first draft with the team, you're going with the left tackle.
Yeah, certainly I love the opportunity. Again, this is a trenches game. This is a game that's won up front in a lot of ways. And, obviously my background has been around that in a lot of places I've been. And certainly this place is invested in it, and we feel like we can continue to do that. And so we feel like we're building a strength in that offensive line. We got a ton of really good talent there, and we're really excited about that.
Do you ideally see him at left tackle and Florida back on the right side?
We're going to give it plenty of flexibility through this whole offseason process and allow those guys to kind of go through this, give ourselves the flexibility to get the best five on the field because we feel like we have depth beyond that, and so it's going to be a great opportunity for us. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, just through the whole process, he's everything you want your organization to represent. The player, the person, three-year starter, she's just turning 21 here next month. Yeah, you meet him, you quickly are gravitated to him as a person, and you put on the film, and he gets after people. You know, he moves people in the run game. He's a great pass protector. He just does an excellent job.
Hey, Kellen. Oh, sorry. Just my turn. you know which quarterback he'll be blocking for by chance?
we'll let that process play itself out. Obviously, Mickey kind of addressed that on Wednesday, and so yeah, we'll go through that.
You mentioned y'all spoke at the combine as well as pro day, but no top 30 visit and everything like that. Just kind of how early in the process did y'all identify him as maybe one of the guys?
Well, certainly we felt like we had two touching base points there. You know, certainly I did, you know, being able to go to the pro day, being able to meet him at the combine. And so certainly we still had a couple opportunities. 30 visits sometimes come in for different various reasons. And, you know, we just felt like we had a great feel for him. Felt like, you know, they had done a lot of work from a scouting department standpoint. And so, you know, we felt really comfortable with it.
Yeah, did y'all make calls today trying to move back into the first round?
No, I mean, obviously, there's always discussions as you go through this process, and you know, those discussions certainly happen. But you know, we felt good with where we're at.
Nick, you said that you try to be faithful to the top of your board, but if you have two or three guys really close, you may go by position. Was this clear cut at the top of your board?
Yeah, it was right at the top. You know, we had a couple guys that were there that felt really, really good with, and you know, certainly felt like the ability to increase our offensive line was just an excellent opportunity for our football team, just the identity of it and what we want to do.
What would that process look like for figuring out who fits best where? You just try guys out at different spots and kind of get it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's obviously now that we're at this process, and you know, we know Kelvin will be here. We'll go through that process just to kind of give a few different looks, a few different presentations for us, and you know, it'll settle down as we go.
How do you think he would do at guard if that's
certainly we feel like he's got the flexibility to play anywhere on the offensive line as far as you know, the tackle spots, the guard spots, you know, and we got other guys who are flexible too. I think you know, we feel really good about this. You know. Got Trevor, you know, we went and signed Dylan. We got a lot of depth in this group that allows us to have some flexibility there.
Is Trevor somebody who could slide inside?
I think all of our guys have a lot of flexibility. You know, certainly feel like Trevor's continuing to progress. We feel really good with where he's headed as a football player, and we're really, really excited to continue to build that process for him. And so, you know, like a lot of these guys, I think they all have flexibility.
Where do you feel like the starting place is right now for with that?
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
Obviously, competition has to play out, but just Kelvin specifically, I mean, when you were evaluating, you saw him as a left tackle versus foremost. So, I mean, is that how you judge?
We feel like he can play tackle. He can play tackle in this league. He did it at Texas for 3 years against some of the best competition in college football. You know, that's big time production right there. And so within that, he also has the flexibility to go play a bunch of other stuff. So it was just an awesome pick. Well, certainly when you combine the situation, he's a three-year starter. He's really young. He's about ready to turn 21. For him to just hop in there and compete at that high of a level in, you know, arguably some of the toughest games in college football that you're going to play, you know, just shows the player and the person that he is.
How much did conversations at the combine and pro day kind of impact your view of him as a player? It seems like he has a really kind of engaging personality.
Yeah, phenomenal. The combine is really fast. You know, these 15-20 minute interactions, but you quickly kind of get a sense of the person very quickly, and then you just kind of continue to have these different touching base points. Pro day was awesome. Certainly, our scouts invest such a large amount of time over the course of the last few years to get to know these guys. They know these guys inside and out. They understand them as people in so many ways, and so we felt really good. Never hurts to have two guys in-house that give you the thumbs up. Definitely helps you.
Is it just the cost of moving back in the first round that was prohibitive?
No, no. You just have conversation. We feel good. We got plenty of opportunities through this whole process. You know, we got three picks tomorrow and, you know, plenty of flexibility as we go through this in the next couple days.
Did you guys actually have serious considerations on the opposite of moving down from nine?
Couple conversations here and there, but we felt like we had a great opportunity to get a really good player at nine, and certainly we felt the value of not missing that opportunity.
Is there a consciousness or an importance of trying to end up with as many of those, you know, six picks in the first four rounds as you can?
There's certainly value to that. Anytime you get, you know, we feel like these guys that, you know, we'll obviously start with the second round, but these third round picks, these fourth round picks, I mean, these guys are going to be helping us, you know, contribute to winning games this coming year. And so we feel like we're in a great place to utilize all these opportunities.
Colin, is building from the trenches always been like a core philosophy for you?
Yeah, I think it's just you recognize the value of that in this game. You know, if you have issues up front, if we have challenges, not a whole lot else can be accomplished without those guys. And so we recognize the value of that. I think that's the beauty of it. This place has continued to invest in it year in, year out. The last couple places I've been, it's been the same exact case, and feel like it's contributed to a lot of the success at other places and here included. Yeah, certainly we just, you know, we loved Kelvin as we went through this process. Certainly there's other opportunities, other discussion points as you go through this. These are never easy decisions because there's a lot of really good football players that have an opportunity to come to the NFL. And so, you know, we ultimately felt like Kelvin was the best opportunity for us.
How do you guys say that you guys are really aligned when it comes to draft philosophies? And since you love putting in the trenches and the Saints are habitually known for getting linemen in the first one, how easy was it to come to a conclusion to get an offensive lineman?
It ended up playing out, you know, in a really clean, you know, way, and so certainly we all feel very comfortable with that. It doesn't mean that we're not trying to go, you know, find receivers, find skill guys, find back end guys on the defense. You know, there's huge value in all these different positions, but you know, certainly aligned this way, you know, with Kellen.
How do you all feel about the board tomorrow? Like, I know you just walked out of the room, but how do you feel going into tomorrow?
Awesome question. Yeah, you know, you feel like there's still some names up there, and it's going to go for a while here. But there's some names up there. You're really fired up to see if we can find a way to get those guys. And so it'll be a really exciting process. We'll go through, you know, kind of just like we have the last couple days. We'll go through a lot of scenarios tomorrow, just playing out different opportunities that we may have. And you know, it'll be fun to continue to build this thing. We've been building it, you know, for the last couple months, and so we felt like the board was built the right way. You know, we'll let the thing play itself out. We'll trust the process, and we feel like we got some good players in the building. Again, Mickey kind of addressed how Derek's situation is being played out, and so you know, hopefully get some clarity in the coming time as you know, everyone just goes through that process.
Do you remember any games or moments in particular that stood out to you that helped shape your opinion?
I think, you know, the beauty of him going and playing 3 years at Texas, you go see him play some big-time opponents. And, you know, there's a bunch of weeks where he's playing guys that, you know, were drafted today and they'll be drafted tomorrow. And so when you go watch him play those games, you're seeing him play guys that are going to be playing on Sunday. And so a bunch of games come out. He's one of those guys when you play there, week in and week out, he's battling some of the best. And so it showed up consistently.
I know Mickey said yesterday that, you know, here they never trade back. Obviously, you seem to love Kelvin.
Yep.
Would you say there's like three or five guys you love, you know, that you wish you had? I mean, how does this draft look for you from maybe the talent perspective of, I'd love to have that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best way – We've gone through a really good process. We feel like there's great opportunities throughout this draft. There's a lot of depth. You know, Mickey's never opposed to trading back. We have those discussions. It just doesn't happen. And so, you know, this will be a long process over the next couple of days. We go through this again, as we look at what's potentially ahead tomorrow, we feel great. We feel like we're going to be able to contribute and help this team in a lot of ways with the guys that are still on that board.
How many first round grades did you have on players?
It's a great question. I don't know the number. Yeah, I don't know the number. Yeah.
Just from your previous experience with either Philly,
yeah. It was probably close to the same. It wasn't drastic, but yeah.
Yesterday, Mickey said that you guys are always in the business of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you agree with, and can you proceed right to another quarterback?
I think every organization is always looking at that position year in and year out. You know, even years with that past place I've been, you know, you study the quarterbacks each and every year because, you know, it's just a fun position. Obviously, I've been around it my whole life. And, you know, continue to evaluate those guys because you never know. You may end up working with them. You know, Spencer, you know, I was in Philly. We weren't drafting a guy last year, but, you know, you got to go through the process and better understand Spencer. Jake was the previous year when he was coming out of Fresno. I was in L.A. You spent enough time, so when you came here, you really knew these guys really well, and you had gone through the evaluation process with those guys. And so I think you try and do it each and every year, no matter what the circumstance is. Yeah, again, as you go through this process, there's going to be different things that, you know, are adjustments as you go through this process. And so, yeah, obviously we feel good about Derek as far as, you know, having the opportunity to kind of go through this process, see where it's at. You know, sometimes things pop up as you go through this, just like in season, guys have things that you got to kind of navigate. And so, you know, we'll let this process play itself out. Yeah, quarterbacks come from a lot of different avenues as you go through this process. Certainly, you know, being around Jalen was a second-round pick, Dak was a fourth, you know, Justin, hey, he was a first-round high pick. But there's a lot of flexibility within that. You want to create an environment that allows these guys to be successful. That's important as you go through this. And so, you know, certainly we feel like these guys that are here, that have been a part of this thing, you know, we feel good about that room. No. And, you know, obviously, I think, you know, Cam's an excellent player. Everyone kind of knew how that one was going to go down. And you figured, you know, at some point someone would pop up and take one. And, you know, we'll see how the rest of this thing goes. Big part of this process is getting to know them as people. And you quickly recognize the value that Kelvin has. You know, seeing him, the representation he has at Texas, you know, that program just loves this guy, sees him as one of the leaders of that place, and you feel like when you're bringing those type of people in this building, they're going to help elevate our organization as well. So
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right.
All right. Saints head coach Kellen Moore speaking to the media. The Saints making that 9th overall pick, taking Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive lineman. Kellen Moore saying he's everything you want your organization to represent. Also, guys, thought it was interesting. Moore was asked what quarterback he expects Kelvin Banks to be blocking for this season. Kellen Moore just said, we'll let that process play out.
Yeah, he ain't answering that.
He said, Mickey told you Wednesday.
Hey, well, we ain't got to worry about that until September. Well, week one or whenever the
when
first
When they sign
game,
Aaron Rodgers.
When they sign Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy.
I knew that was coming. I could have said it before him.
Black and gold in the Super Bowl. We'll be rocking. Now, I'm telling you, you get that dome rocking. I don't know what's going to happen. I want to be entertained. Don't you like it as a sports fan? You want to be entertained? You want to put fannies in the dome?
Absolutely.
You want to come? So, hey, right now, are we optimistic
about it? I want to win, Bobby. I'm not worried about entertainment.
Oh, and then Aaron Rodgers is a winner. Spencer Rattler, they ain't won jack. I mean, I don't know. So whatever's going to happen, Derek Carr, I don't know, fake Christian, whatever that might be. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt nobody, whatever. But let me tell you right now, when I look at, like, Kelvin Banks Jr., and you might think that for sure he's going to be the left tackle. And then we put Fuaga at right tackle. They might maybe try him and maybe OTAs, whatever, on the inside and keep. Where they're at. Okay, let me tell you why, Deuce. Okay.
But here's my problem with that.
No, no.
Here's my problem. But, I'm gonna let you finish, but here I have a problem with that.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm going to let Bobby finish.
Let me finish. For some teams. Now, maybe that's not the Saints. Now, you got 32 NFL teams. Now, this is written by scouts, you know, you're looking at Kelvin Banks Jr. For some teams, he'll be able to stick on the outside with the hopes that his athleticism will mitigate, that's a big word, will mitigate his shortcomings, while other clubs might slide him inside and bank on improved play strength to make him a more effective interior blocker. The physical tools are there, whether it's on the inside
right.
or the outside. So you know what the bottom line?
So, Bobby, I'm going to let you finish, okay. But I want him to do something for me.
Okay.
Can you pull arm length for Banks and
Will Campbell?
No. And Teron Armstead. Now go ahead.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. Exactly. Finish. Go ahead. Arm length. No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You're right. Because they brought up the arm length with Will Campbell, and they brought up the arm length with Kelvin Banks Jr. So that makes a difference. To me, it's no big deal, like Mike said. But when they bring up arm length, I mean, your arms are not long enough, so you got to go on the inside. You can't play tackle. But I'm like, the bottom line, Kelvin Banks Jr., I don't care if it's at left guard or left tackle. He's freaking starting off of the team.
No, I agree. I agree with you there. And so in some systems.
Kelvin Banks Jr., 33 and a half inches.
And 34 for Armstead.
You got it.
So half an inch.
Half
an inch.
Yeah, right.
A different half inch.
That's a different half inch.
We're not talking about 6 inches versus 9 inches.
Well,
what about that?
Well, wait, Bobby. Let me go back to it. We talked about the athlete, how athletic he was.
Yeah.
So as Mike alluded to earlier, if you can clean up his footwork and get him to be the athlete at that tackle position, then you're not going to have to worry about defensive ends long arming him as far as that is concerned. I mean, he's going to be able to really be able to say, hey, look, I can use my athletic ability to be able to beat defenders. So whether he quick sets some of those defensive ends, or whether he's able to say, hey, look, I'm not going to shoot my hands. I'm going to be able to wait, and once you shoot your hands, I'm going to be able to react and counter that move.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. Now, how about this? When you look at, like, perspective, okay, who's your starting five? Now, everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to roll. Okay, we have a center. He was here tonight, Eric McCoy. You got Cesar Ruiz. Okay, so that's your center and your right guard. Okay, so let's say we're going to play different scenarios. So let's say you stay put because you want everybody to play right away. He got to play right away. So let's say, because the experience, Fuaga stays at left tackle. Trevor Penning's at right tackle. He's at left guard. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is Trevor Penning goes from right tackle to left guard, and then Fuaga goes to right tackle, and then Kelvin Banks plays left tackle. So I think it's a win-win. Whether he's playing on the inside or outside, this son of a gun is starting.
He better start. But he starts at left tackle for me.
And to see what's going to happen.
Here's the only reason I have issue with Trevor going to left guard.
Yeah.
One, it's a new position.
Yes. Are they going to put him on the bench? Because they're going to put Fuaga at right tackle.
I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm just saying – I don't want to start two new guys, a rookie by himself. I mean, look at Fuaga. He started, but he had a veteran inside. So now I'm going to move Penning to left guard,
right,
a position that he's never played, and I'm going to have a left tackle that's a rookie.
He'll be like a virgin, out there.
That's a rookie.
Yeah.
So now my whole left side of my offense, I'm just hoping – and praying, that quarterback that's already his blind side.
Yeah.
It's already, man, I just hope he feels it, he sees it, and he can get rid of it. I would hesitate with that move.
Okay, now, would you,
I agree with you.
Okay, now how about this? Would you have, okay, we know the center, the right guard, and then you move Fuaga to right tackle. Kelvin Banks is now a left tackle. And then Penning goes on the bench because Dylan Randos, whatever his name is,
Randis,
free agency. Now he's the starting left guard.
He's played before.
Okay.
He's played it, but I would feel a little bit more comfortable.
So are you going to put Trevor on the bench then? Then he's like the jumbo guy. Then, boy, talk about get humbled. I mean, he might start crying. I mean, I'm not starting no more. No, you got to go compete. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of different scenarios that could transpire.
So how you figure he's going to start crying?
Because he's not starting no more. I'm like, because he never really worked
write
out.
That down, Deuce.
Because he's had a lot of adversity coming out of Northern Iowa. He's never really worked out. And then he kind of turned the corner a little bit.
A little bit, right.
And then I don't pass block good enough. I can run block okay. And then maybe I'll go to the inside. But you might eventually play on the inside. But we like our free agent acquisition in Dylan Randus. What's his name? I don't know. Dylan. I'm going to call him Dylan.
Randus.
Randus. Okay, I like that cat. It's just, look at Randus. His 53rd overall pick in 2021. He started 15 games at right guard last season and spent the first 4 years at the Titans. Trevor Penning don't have those skins in the wall. We ain't waiting around for him. He might not be able to accept that he's not starting. But the only reason why I bring that up, if you're going to put Kelvin Banks at left tackle, and you're putting Fuaga at right tackle, and then he's your left guard. Trevor Penning is a day late and a dollar short. The NFL's tough.
But is that your best five?
No, it's the best five. Deuce, I agree with you totally. I don't care. You got to humble yourself. You got to go win the job. Who's the best five? And somebody always gets hurt. So you might be like, you can't pout. Somebody gets hurt, go in there, now you a starter.
Okay,
do something.
Here's the other part of this. Okay, we talking about 2025. Am I going to start trying to move people around in 2026 again? That's why I would put...
We need the continuity.
I would put Banks at left tackle, Fuaga at right tackle. We know McCoy is going to be the center, and Ruiz. You know what? We figure out the left guard position.
So make him compete. So make Penn.
Well, I mean, they're going to compete anyway.
Yes.
In that situation.
So make,
I just wouldn't feel comfortable, me personally. Now, Brandon Nugent, the offensive line coach, right. You know, Jari, the assistant, OC, we just talked to him. Nussmeier.
Yeah.
Nussmeier and Moore, Coach Moore, that's their decision to make. But me personally, I'm not comfortable putting those two guys in that situation.
Well, and you look this is something I'd say. How do you say his name? I know his first name's Dylan. Okay.
Just call him Dylan.
Call him Dylan R. Dylan R.
It's bothering him because he's seen it and he knows it, but he just don't want to say it or can't say it right.
I just can't hear it in my ear anymore.
No, on the bayou, I know some Randazzo, but that's not a Randazzo.
No, he's not a Randazzo.
How did you add all of those extra letters?
No, because that's the only thing that I know. We used to call him Diggle.
Raiders.
Look at Dylan. Dylan figures to compete for a starting spot with the Saints, likely at left guard. Along with, I like this competition, like you said, Deuce, Nick Saldivari.
Correct.
Landon Young.
Correct.
Kyle Hergel and Will Clapp, who came back. He went to the Chargers, the Bills, came back to the Saints from LSU, Will Clapp. So let the best man win.
Here's my deal. I think in
that's a lot of competition. Let the best man win.
In the real scenario, I think the Saints coaches in front office wants Nick Saldivari to be the left guard. He got to stay healthy.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
It was his job.
Yes.
It was his job this year.
And he didn't even lose it. He wasn't there.
Right.
How can you lose a job? You know, they give it to you, and you can't take it over because you're on the bench. Or, you know, you're in the tub or whatever.
What's interesting, guys, Coach Mike McCarthy was on with the Pat McAfee show, their draft special. And he says, this Saints roster is better than people think. Kellen Moore is going to have a great time with this offensive line.
Well, we're going to have a great season.
Well, they got to stay healthy. I mean,
that's the key.
If you can stay healthy.
Think of what Sean Payton did post-Katrina. Come on, we were down and out. We won 3 games in Coach Haslett. Sean Payton comes on board. We go from 3 wins to 10 wins. We were the second seed in the NFC. We go to the NFC Championship against the Bears. If Kellen Moore, can you imagine if Kellen Moore right now would go from 5 wins to 10 wins? Because double-digit wins, you're in the playoffs. Well, let's say we instead of 5 and 12, we all of a sudden 10 and 7 with Kellen Moore. What? We so optimistic going and forward. It didn't matter this year. It's Lanyap to me going into the 2026 season. We so optimistic. It's scary.
You're not getting Arch Manning.
Getting little Arch next year either. I hate to break you the news.
Because then we won too many damn games.
He's going back to Texas.
Don't get
him started on that.
No.
You wouldn't get Nussmeier then.
No. And the moral of the story is how you go from 5 to 10 wins, Aaron freaking Rodgers. That's how you go from 5 to 10 wins.
Drop the mic and say goodnight. Looking at tomorrow, guys, real quick, we got two third-round selections and one in the second. Some of the names that are still out there that are best available.
Trey Amos comes
to
mind.
We got
to
get cornerback.
Trey Amos, man, and I like him. Drew, you saw him play. Yep. I saw him play a lot at University of Louisiana and Lafayette, and then he goes to Alabama. And I don't know how he figured he was going to beat out Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold. But, man, Trey Amos really played well for the Rebels last year.
And a guy I thought that would probably be a late first rounder, didn't get picked in the first round. He will get picked tomorrow. I think he's definitely a second round guy, a guy that can play. And probably, you know, man to man or zone coverage, he can do both for you. And so he will be a guy that comes off the board. Another one we should start to see. We only saw, what, two tailbacks go?
Yeah. Trevion Henderson and so, Judkins.
Yeah, and so you're going to have Henderson and you'll have Judkins are just two that should go early second round. You know, what I'm interested in?
Mason Taylor for me.
Well, Mason Taylor, but will there be a run on tight ends?
Right.
And then the other run is it receiver time? Because we saw, what, two?
Luther Burden III. What did he do not to
– We saw three receivers.
We saw three.
Golden. Now, the thing is, he gets yards after the catch. He gets the yak. But I can tell you right now, I think we need cornerbacks. Now, Deuce says we got to get a veteran.
I want a veteran cornerback.
I'm fine with a young guy.
I'm fine with a young guy.
Okay.
But you better figure out a way to get a veteran as well.
Yes, I agree.
And then
with
when
you
look at the young cornerbacks, Mike, the guy from East Carolina.
Ravel is
a junior.
Is an interesting guy because he is coming off the ACL. But I think, other than Will Johnson, who is in a free fall because of injuries. Ravel is the guy. If my medical staff says he's ready to go,
I have an interesting one for you. And Mike, we talked about this a little bit. A lot of teams had him in the first round. South Carolina.
Emin Warry.
How did he get picked yet? He's awesome. I think he's going to be awesome.
I think
because some games he's great, and another game, is he?
But I think the Saints have a. They don't call it a nickel anymore.
That's right.
We would call it big nickel, but it's star.
It's called star, and it's not just another name for nickel. There are actually different responsibilities.
Correct. And so would that be a position for him? I mean, because if you're going to have a guy that can play close to the line of scrimmage, possibly drop into, I mean, almost probably like a strong safety. I don't know if it is a
because you know he was a high school linebacker that they converted to safety.
To safety, really?
So yeah, you he put played linebacker his entire
so if you put
high
him in the
career.
Box, you know he knows how to run.
Well, he can run.
He can run now.
Yeah, he can definitely run.
Yeah.
I mean, his, when you look at his stats and his numbers as far as his abilities, like whoa, this guy's Kyle Hamilton is who you think he is. But for me, with the Saints, if you're going to go to a 3-4 look. And you're going to have players like that, then I want guys that can run.
Yes.
I want guys that can run. And, you know, he may not be the deep safety cover guy. I can put a true nickel in there if I'm going to play that. But if I'm going to try to steal – a pressure guy,
right?
And not put in a true linebacker or not put in a true defensive end. I better have somebody that can bring the wood a little bit, but he can run, whether it's running down the play or Mike. I see it. He can hit it before the offensive lineman get there. He would be a guy at for me at 40.
Yeah,
that I would consider.
You know who else I consider at 40? When we talk about the East Carolina cornerback, we talked about Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Let me tell you, I don't know this damn first name. I don't know these mamas giving these names. Isaiah, whatever, Thomas, that's easy, from Florida State. Isaiah Thomas, Florida State, looking at him, he allowed only 17 catches. He's tall. He's 6'1". That looks like Paulson Adebo. notable speed. He ran a 4.43-yard, 40-yard dash. And what I was reading, he excels in press man coverage.
That's what now, he wants to do all the time.
Now, the projection is that he's a starter. Be in the rotation, contribute on special teams, like for sure, like 2 or 3 years. That, you know, it's a bad year for corners, whatever, but they said teams are going to go after this guy because of his measurables. So at 40, Mike, that wouldn't be a reach.
No, because for me, he's a 40s guy.
Oh,
is that Tommy Tucker over there?
Yeah.
And so, but when you think about it, this isn't a great year for the cornerback spot
Well, if the Saints took him at 40, the Thomas from Florida State, that wouldn't be a reach, right?
No, but my thing is, man, the intrigue in day two, everybody brings up Shadir.
Yeah.
The intrigue is going to be Milroe.
I would take Milroe way before
I'm just telling you, that's going to be the intrigue, is Milroe.